today. And I see he has his books right there, and I'm sure that he can get one of those inside the King James. He's got a lot of work on that. And it's a real privilege to have you here.
Amen. If you'll open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I've been doing some research on deception in these last days in relation to the King James Bible. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. It says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and then assured of." God wants us to be sure of certain things. And this is something that's blessed me, my whole ministry, in verse 14. "Knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture." It's very important to know where certain doctrines come from. It's very important to know where they originated. One of the first things I discovered is that, in fact, it's the second sermon I ever preached, not the first sermon, is that most of Christianity today, a majority of the churches in America, have been infected with psychology. And they have many ideas such as self-love, self-esteem, the fact that you need not only the Bible, but you need psychology. This was actually a plan of the liberal, the socialist, the communist, to replace the pastor with the psychologist. Bruce Naramore wrote a book called "You're Someone Special." And he said, we learned all of these ideas. We learned to love ourselves, to seek self-esteem. We learned these ideas from humanistic psychologists. And he listed the psychologists such as Eric Fromm, Carl Rogers. And he said, this is a good and necessary focus. Eric Fromm wrote a book called "Ye Shall Be As Gods." These men were followers of Lucifer. They were atheists. They were Christ haters. Eric Fromm said that what we're going to do is we're going to begin to not only bring psychology into the realm of personal fulfillment, but we are also going to bring it into the realm of values and morals. And we need to enter into the public school if we're going to get a hold of the nation. Now, right here in 2 Timothy, it also says that as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so shall these men in the last days withstand the truth. And of course, Jannes and Jambres were sorcerers, witches, wizards. So we can expect in the last days occult people, people that are into magic and sorcery, to enter into churches and to bring great deception. In fact, 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, in the last days they will be followers of seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. In other words, they are doctrines that originated from devils and not from the Holy Scripture. So God says, make sure you know what you believe, know where it comes from, make sure it comes from the Bible and not from some devil. the most infamous Satanists that ever lived was a man named Manly T. Hall. Manly T. Hall was a 33rd degree Mason. He's been called the greatest cultist that has ever lived. He confessed that he channels the energies of Lucifer in his book, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry. This man is one of the most influential Satanists that has ever lived. Manly B. Hall says that the world needs to be conditioned. And he says the way of conditioning will be the one that we used in Central Europe to condition Nazi minds. It there began in the public schools with the small child, which is where we will begin. He says to make things right, and believe me, when he says to make things right, he's making things very wrong. To make things right, we will have to undo much that is cherished error. The problem of revising the Bible shows how difficult it is to do this. For the last 100 years, we, talking about people that follow Lucifer, the Freemasons, we have been trying to get out an edition of the Bible that is reasonably correct according to our standards. Talking about the people that follow Satan. But nobody wants it. He said this in 1944. What's wanted by the majority of the people is the good old King James Version. Every jot and tittle of it. Because most people are convinced that God dictated the Bible to King James in English. So this man just said that the Masons, the followers of Lucifer, these insiders, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, have been working to put out a Bible edition that will catch on by the people in the world. But he says we cannot get the people to follow it because the King James Bible is in the way. He says what we're going to have to do is condition the people through public education. And when we condition the people through public education, we can begin with the children, and they will finally learn to give up the King James Bible. He says the solution to the whole problem is psychology. Direct quote. It must be an absolute requisite of education from the grammar school up. We must begin at the home with the small children. And then with the churches, teaching the integrity of the religions of other peoples, we must be conditioned. I want you to understand what he just said. You have the greatest follower of Lucifer of all time, 33rd degree Mason, who just said that we are going to use public education in America, we're going to use psychology, we're going to go after the children, we're going to go after the children, and we're going to condition them the same way we condition people using the Nazi government. Charles Potter in 1933 said that we have your children in public education. He laughed and he mocked and he said, you set up a state church, you ignorant Christians. You basically dissolve the state church. The Baptist did. Praise God for that. And what he said was, we set up another one called Humanistic Education, and now we're funded by tax dollars. It's a state church. We set it up in America. He said, we have your children 5 days a week, and we're going to create humanists in America in one generation. And that's what they've done. And he said, the Christians think the only thing wrong with public education is evolution. He said, no, it's a 5-day course indoctrination of humanism. And when the children get out of public school today, they do not believe in absolute truth. They do not believe in a King James ancient Bible. They do not believe that there's one religion. They believe that your way is your way, my way is my way, it's okay, it's relativism, which of course leads to nihilism and depression, and people say there is no hope, there's no meaning, and that's where the kids are today. They're angry, they lack direction, and they're basically suicidal and fierce, just like the Bible said they'd be in the last days. Manly P. Hall, the great Satanist that said the King James Bible is in our way, we're going to use education to brainwash everybody. He said the Greek manuscripts that modern versions such as the RV are based upon are the greatest books in the world. There are two manuscripts, Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. They're filled with apocryphal words. They're filled with occult writing. And they show signs of people that believe in works, salvation. They are basically written by Luciferic type of people, pagan Christians, if you will. And Manly B. Hall said the manuscripts of the NIV are based upon, the manuscripts of the NAS are based upon, the manuscripts of the RV are based upon. He said these are the greatest books in the world. Why would a Lucifer, a follower of Lucifer, who basically the 33rd degree Mason, why would he say that these manuscripts are the greatest books in the world? Something's wrong with the scripture. He says the enthusiastic God and still worshiper will insist that the words of the King James Version are the words of God Himself. But every statement contained in the Bible must be checked with the Greek and Hebrew original. And he goes on to tell people that they must follow the scribes. It seems to me, he's pretty confident, that the modern scholars of his day in 1944, the modern scholars that had produced these new Bibles, these revised Bibles, Paul was pretty much convinced that they were on his side, that they were bringing in a new world. I show in this book here, and I preached it many times, that the men behind the new version, I document it, I don't just say it, I document it, that they were Masons, the men behind the new version, the basically the main scribe, the main scholar behind the New American Standard. Because the New American Standard came from the American Standard. The American Standard came from the RV. The chief scholar behind the American Standard was Philip Chow, who basically was friends with the Theosophists and these occult people that had a magazine called Lucifer. He wanted a new world order led by the Pope. He spoke at the Parliament of World Religions in 1893. He was a wicked man, Philip Chow. And not only him, but I went through every single one of the men that were behind the ASB. And basically the New American Standard says we come right from the American Standard. You had men that were skull and bones men. You had Mason. You had the inventor of evolution. The inventor of evolution in modern times was not Darwin. It was a theologian that was upon the translating committee. The translating committee of the American Standard Version. These men were not godly. That's why Manly P. Hall says we need to follow these new versions and not the King James Bible. What these scholars tell us, and what the Unitarians and what the Satanists tell us, is that plain people are in the way. People who follow the King James Bible are our greatest obstacle to accomplish our one world agenda. That's how it was in the Bible with the Pharisees. The plain people were in the way. The common people were in the way. The Bible says the common people heard them gladly. Over and over again, they complain that the people are more conservative than the scholars. Washington Gladden was an early modernist leader who denied the fundamentals of the faith. He said, most of us who are now past middle life were brought up under influences in which the inerrancy of the Bible was always assumed. The Bible is God's book. But the time came when this sweeping chain of infallibility began to be widely challenged. Then doubts began to gather when the revision of the King James Bible was determined upon. He said, that's where we lost our faith. He said, that's where America and England, we lost our faith when they revised the Bible and told us the King James Bible is not the Word of God. The Bible never could be to the people the kind of book which they had always supposed it to be. He says it's true that there are many thousands of ministers and laymen, he's writing in 1914, who still adhere to the old theory that the King James Bible is infallible. What are we going to do with these plain men? The plain man is the heart of our problem. Unless his attitude toward the Bible can be changed, we'll never accomplish our goal. As you see, modernists and Unitarians and Satanists and Masons, they say we have to basically brainwash the common man, pry him loose from the King James Bible. They said, there's only one way we can do it. We got to replace the preacher with the psychologist. We got to move into the schools. And we got to begin right there. Folks, I'm telling you, if you read Hillary Clinton's Village, she says, we've already got the children from kindergarten up, but we want them early. So there's movements in Oklahoma, all around America today, to make it mandatory for these children. This was the whole goal. It was the whole goal of the CPS movement. It's the whole goal is to finally make sure, says Hillary, that experts enter the homes. It's mandated. Experts will enter the homes to evaluate every family that has a baby, and those children will have mandatory preschool even before kindergarten, because the families of America cannot be trusted. We must have the children. The UN writes of the children that America has not ratified yet. But Obama says it's a shameful thing that America has not ratified it. They teach that these children have the right to watch whatever they want. A father or mother cannot get in the way of the child and tell them, I don't want you watching that television program. A parent has no control over their children. That's what's coming to America. This is their goal. It's been their goal from the beginning to go after these children. And the King James Bible is in the way. It's been in the way from the very beginning. And it's still in the way. This goes all the way back to Satan in the Garden of Eden when he says, you shall not surely die. Notice, what does he do to Eve? He doesn't say you're not going to die. He says you're not surely going to die. He casts doubt upon the promises of God. He removes the fear of God. When the fear of God is removed, when you have no fear of hell, when the wicked are no longer afraid of going to the lake of fire for all eternity, when the devil shows up, he gets rid of your certainty and he gets rid of your fear. Now notice what he began with. The devil started, yea, hath God said. The devil comes to shake the faith in the people. He comes to bring doubt upon the Word of God. There has been a new Christian mysticism that has replaced infallibility. It's replaced the old faith. It's replaced the certainties of Christianity with doubt. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, showing that faith is reasonable. But the new version, such as the NIV says, may we be delivered from wicked and evil people. It gets rid of the word reason. In Isaiah 1, God says, come, let us reason together. In the NIV, it says, come now, let us settle the matter. Likewise in the humor. Something's going on here, folks. James R. White, who wrote a book against the King James Bible, says the problem is that people do not want subjectivity. They desire certainty. He said, this is the problem with people that follow the new version. We have nothing certain to offer them. But he goes on and says, wait a second, Protestants. Catholics have a hope, but they need certainty. And you've made a hope out of your Bible. So what you need to do is put this Biblia, basically this worship of the Bible, and you need to just settle for the fact that we're not going to be certain of anything. The old time Methodist said in 1882, it's alarming to hear Orthodox men say, our fathers renounced an infallible code. We must surrender an infallible book. But you'll find that the men that were behind the RV, such as Westcott and Bork, they rejected infallibility. They rejected absolute truth. Westcott writes to Bork and says, I reject the word infallibility of the Holy Scripture overwhelming. Hort said, if you make a decided conviction of the absolute infallibility of the New Testament, I fear I cannot join you. What I'm trying to show you is that the men that replaced the Bibles in America, they replaced the King James Bible with these new versions. These men did not believe in the infallibility of Scripture. You understand? These men rejected certainty. They don't want absolute truth. They had a doctrine, and here's their doctrine. The men, I'll prove it to you, the men behind the American Standard, the men behind the RV, here is their doctrine. They said Jesus is in heaven, we have a perfect Jesus, and we do not need a perfect Bible. And they fooled a lot of people, because they said, we believe in the infallibility of Jesus. We believe in the perfection of Jesus. We believe that Jesus is infallible and perfect. And everybody gave them a free pass. What they did not ask them was, do you believe in the infallibility of the Bible? Do you believe in the infallibility of the written word? Which they did not believe. So these men who translated the Bible, inspired by devils, when people read it, they say, I don't see anything wrong with an NIV. What's the problem here? But you have to look closely. The Bible says the serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field. You'll notice that anywhere the King James Bible says sure, or certain, or reasonable, or tells you to study, it's been removed. This is what's wrong with America today. Nobody. They've gone to humanistic schools. They do not believe in one way. They do not believe in absolute truth. They do not believe in a perfect Bible. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, the King James Bible, that he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs.
Hallelujah.
The NIV says convincing proofs. Is there a difference between infallible and convincing? 1 Timothy 6 says, it is certain we can carry nothing out of this world. The NIV says, we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of it. The book of Proverbs said, that I may make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. The NIV and the new versions, they teach you to be honest and to speak the truth. What's missing, folks? Our text that we began with in 2 Timothy 3 says, continue thou in those things which thou hast learned and have been assured of. The NASB says, the things you've been convinced of. Who's ultimately behind these changes? It has to be the God of this world that blinds the minds of the people. The Bible says that the foundation be destroyed. What can the righteous do? The Bible says, the King James Bible, if the trumpet given a certain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? The NIV says, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call. 2 Peter 1 says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. The NIV says, we have something completely reliable. Do you see the problem, folks? The King James Bible says, the testimony of the Lord is sure. The NIV says, it's trustworthy. John chapter 6 says, we're sure that thou art the Christ. The NIV says, we believe. Psalms 93 says, thy testimonies are sure. The NIV says, they stand firm. The Bible says, search the Scriptures. The NIV says, you study the Scriptures. As if it was bad to do so. I'm telling you that the devil has come to deny absolutes. He's come to deny the certainty of our King James Bible. And every single day, more and more plain people are led astray. by this wicked movement. It all started with a Jesuit named Richard Simon, who basically had a plan, and he said, you need the Roman Catholic Church to interpret the Bible for you. We have an infallible Pope. We have an infallible Church. Therefore, we do not believe our present copies of the Bible are inspired. Only the originals are inspired. You look at most pastors of America, if you ask them where the perfect Bible is, they'll say only the originals are inspired. We do not have a perfect Bible that we can hold in our hands and read. That is a Jesuit doctrine, and Satanists are behind it, as well as the Jesuits. What I've done here is I've spent a few years going through every single year from the 1600s all the way up. And I have quotes, basically, for just about every year showing people that believe in the King James Bible as the infallible, inspired, perfect Word of God. In 1871, Abbott said, many trust the English Bible as infallible. Millions believe our English Bible is the code and canon of all truth. Oh, yes, indeed, millions did believe that. But nevertheless, you've got scholars today that will tell you that the King James Bible only movement originated with Ruckman, or originated with a Seventh-day Adventist named Benjamin Wilkinson. And I have quotes of all the scholars that try to lie to people today and tell them that is true. What I did was basically refute this lie and show year after year after year after year after year. I have quote after quote after quote after quote after quote of showing people that have gone before you to believe the King James Bible is the infallible Word of God. In fact, I have the enemies of Christ saying everyone believes it. Millions believe it. Thousands of common people believe the King James Bible is inspired and infallible. And I'm telling you, God has done something with this King James Bible. He's done something. And today, it has been overthrown. And it was a satanic goal. It was a Jesuit goal to overthrow the King James Bible. And we need to stand up. And we need to get back to the book. We do not need to correct the book. We do not need to say there is a better translation. We need to get back to the book. The book is inspired. It is perfect. God has given you a Bible. And we need nothing else. I'm glad God has given us a Bible. I'm glad that I don't have to go back to the dark, vague mysteries of Greek and try to pretend that I can be smarter than one of these men that translated the King James Bible. By the way, they were blessed by God's providence to choose the right words. They're not being blessed by God to write a new Bible. They're being providentially blessed by God to simply recognize what the new Bible should be in English. There's a big difference. But nevertheless, these men, when they're 12 years old, could speak in a dozen English, ancient languages. There's never been a body of scholars. It is arrogant to think that we will know better what the Greek should be than these men. Aside from the fact of God's providence, it's quite arrogant to think we could improve upon such scholars before evolution, before the television set, before public education. Amen? Amen. It says in 1837, many of the unlearned, says Richard Whately, even in what are called the educated classes, have grown up in the habitual belief of the unerring correctness in every part of our version of the Bible. Sarah Moore Grimke, the first feminist, in 1838, in her writing called Letters on the Equality of the Sexes, Grimke says, I believe almost everything that has been written on the subject of the sphere of the woman has been the result of a misconception of the simple truths revealed in the Scripture, in consequence of the false translation of many passages of Holy Writ. But my mind is entirely delivered from the superstitious reverence which is attached to the English version of the Bible. This first feminist ended up basically leaving the King James Bible, and she ended up with all of her satanic doctrines in relation to the woman. Picking up on that, Elizabeth Cady Stanton published the Woman's Bible in 1895. She shocked the world. The Chicago Post did an attack of the New Woman on our King James Bible. And what I'm telling you here is there is a consistent pattern. Wherever you find Unitarians, feminists, witches, theosophists, anytime you find Jesuits, Roman Catholics, wherever you find anybody that is wrong, they are against this King James Bible. There's a pattern here, and they're trying to replace it. In fact, the Unitarians, years before they translated the RV, years before that, they basically had put out their own version of the Bible. And what happened was, they wrote news reports saying they basically just published our Bible. The RV is nothing more than our Unitarian Bible. There was a Unitarian on the translating committee. And for example, here's a headline in the New York Times in 1881. The revision of the New Testament, certain striking coincidences discovered. A comparison of the Unitarian version published in 1808. All they did was publish the Unitarian Bible and make it mainstream. So when you read the NIV today, it's a Unitarian Bible. When you read the NAS today, it's a Unitarian Bible. J.M. Peebles of the New York Free Thinkers Association in 1878. This man is an unbeliever. He's a modernist. He's a free thinker. He says in 1878, departures from our ancestors' faith are rapidly increasing. Such dogmas of the six-day creation, the fall of man through Adam, the total depravity of the human race, the salvation of the soul through the literal blood of Jesus, the personality of the devil, and the inspiration of the King James Bible are dying out of all culture minds. We have today free thought, scientific research, and spiritualism, necromancy. And these things are helping to undermine the theology of the ancient ages. The Bible said in the last days they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I want you to just see in 1878 that this free thinker, this unbeliever, this modernist basically listed the fundamentals of the faith. And one of the fundamentals of the faith was that the King James Bible is inspired. And he was glad to see people leave that fundamental. The New York Times reported in 1878, a certain class will be certain to regard the RV from the start with disfavor. It is made up of worshipers of the letter, these people to whom the traditional version has all the sacredness of the inspired original. Oh, they're there, folks. They've always been there. And New York Times said again in 1878, the very words of the King James Version have for a long time and by millions of our race been held to be the very words of God. Is it wise to lift the anchor at this time? Oh, folks, they lifted the anchor. And we've been set adrift. Oh, we've been set adrift. People say, I wonder what happened. And they want to basically put their finger on all these different things. I'm telling you, the bottom of it all is the foundation of the Word of God. When you basically got rid of the Word of God, you've never been the same since in America. Never been the same since. And other modernist free thinkers, so-called, in 1881 says, we think one of the certain effects of this acceptance of the Revised Version will be the increase of more rational views about the Bible. When they say rational, they mean modernist infidel. Thousands of readers of the King James Version have read it in the firm belief that they were reading an infallible book. But now, they will begin to see that that belief was a mistake. So they're giving one another high fives. They're celebrating the fact that now that they have produced the RV, that more and more people will lose their belief that the King James Bible is inspired. He said that the Revised New Testament has a special interest for us liberals. In 1881, the New York Times said thousands of earnest Christians have been brought up to look upon the English Bible as the inspired Word of God. Oh, I tell you. I like what Talmage said in 1881. Oh, Talmage of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. They had an overflowing congregation. And he got up and began to read the Lord's Prayer. And then he stopped at the doxology and says, there, we are compelled to stop. Then he turned to the fifth chapter of John and he says, I will not read that because it has now been abolished and made doubtful by the revision. And he went on and on to the first chapter of the first epistle of John and he says, I can't read that either. And he went on and on and on and he says, I cannot read this. And the people began to laugh. And he began to warn the people about Uzzah putting forth his hand to touch the ark of God. And he said, this is what's happening in our generation. They are putting forth their hand to touch our Bible. They're touching the King James Bible. And God's not happy about it. He says, the voice of the great masses of people has been heard. 999 of whom out of every thousand regret from their very soul that any revision was attempted. And they look upon it as a desecration, a profanation, and a religious outrage. Talmage goes on to say, religion has not much to fear, has not as much to fear from infidels as from these so-called friends of our Bible. What I say may be divided in high places, but I'm putting into words the sentiment of the people. These are only the mutterings before the storm. Hands off the Word of God! I have some practical advice for private Christians. Hold on to your Bible. The old Bible is for me. It's good enough for you. The Bible is in your houses, and it is the Bible that will be quoted for all time to come. And he called upon Christians to hold fast the real Word of God. I go through and I show scores and scores, hundreds of these preachers that believe the King James Bible to be inspired. I quote William Washington's sentence in 1882, who says the King James translation of the Bible is the only infallible inspired translation. In 1882, Charles Frederick Bryan Wood says it is computed that at this time the authorized version is the Word of God to 9 million souls. Amen to that. But I tell you what, the Satanists couldn't stand that today. The Satanists, the Luciferians, the Theosophists, the Masons, they can't stand these people in America that believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. They have to do something about it. They have to do it. And as long as Christians continue to allow Hollywood, public school, to indoctrinate your children, you're playing right into the hands of these followers of Satan. They want to bring in a new world order. They want a world government. They want a whole new way of doing things. They want to leave the old past. And we need to save our children. Just like Moses said to Pharaoh, you're not getting our children. I'm not making any deal with you. We need to save the world today. Whatever the cost, you're not getting my family. You're not getting my children. I will not allow my children to be indoctrinated by a bunch of masons. In 1912, a magazine called The Word, which was devoted to philosophy, science, religion, Eastern thought, occultism, and theosophy, is basically an Eastern mystical Luciferian magazine. In 1912, they said there was a time when men believed everything taught by their preachers. They did not question the infallibility of the King James Version of the Bible, from the first chapter of Genesis to the last verse of Revelation. They interpreted literally the text. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. He said, this superstitious reverence for the English Bible is the stumbling block. This is what holds the Orthodox churches together, the fundamental churches. We must get rid of this stumbling block. That's what the Satan said. Folks, I'm telling you, the devil is against your King James Bible. They see it as their threat. They see it as the stumbling block that's in the way of all their goals. And you know what I say? I say, get in their way. Amen? I say, get in the way. Get in the way. Stand in the gap. The Bible's here. We ought to stand up and be used by the Holy Ghost to get in the way of the Antichrist spirit. When God wants to, He'll take you out of the way and He'll bring the Antichrist forward. But right now, let's get in the way of the Spirit. Let's get in the way of what they're trying to accomplish. I like it in 1924. A preacher named Fowler says it's vanity and egotism to improve the inspired words of our King James Version. These are times when standards long accepted as forever enduring are being tossed aside and discarded. It's a heyday for pretenders. The change has come about through the influence of Judaism and Jesuitism. It's found in the music. This new jazz music speaks for itself. It panders to the primitive, bestial, sensual. Likewise, we can see it in art. New versions of the Holy Writ are flooding the bookshops almost as rapidly as the new jazz music and best-selling novels. The King James Version of the Bible has been accepted as authoritative for 300 years, but here come this new crop of alterers and tamperers and rewriters who turn it into a different work. Each of these differ among themselves as much as they disagree with the King James Version. It's confusion worse confounded, a modern tower of Babel. Most of those who are busy revamping the King James Version do not regard it as the divinely inspired Word of God. I tell you, over and over and over, we had preachers standing up warning what was going to occur. They were warning and calling and pleading with people, do not touch the infallible Word of God. Do not touch the book that God has given us. And I go through year after year after year after year and show these great men of God, these great people of God that stood in their day for the King James Bible. And I'm going to tell you something here. Philip Chaff in 1883 said the King James Bible will never recover its former authority. It is slowly declining and it is due to a peaceful death and honorable burial. Oh, the Bible says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Word of God is not bound. And old Chaff, with all of his Unitarian, Theosophists, and occult Masonic friends, as he tries to bring in a world government and a world religion using his new Bible, the American Standard, I tell you what, God's laughing at him. Amen? Amen. God's laughing at him, because here we are today, the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible, and I'm sitting here today, and many others around America this year are proclaiming that they still believe in the infallibility of this book. We still believe that God has given us the inspired Word of God in English, and all of these thousands that have gone before us, we're still here. Amen? We're still here. They haven't got rid of us yet, but they're trying. They're trying. Oh, save your children, folks. Save your children. I have a chapter called The Most Hated Book. The Theological Monthly in 1891 says no book has ever been so hated like our King James Bible. No book has ever been so opposed, analyzed, commented on, condemned, and cast out. On the other hand, no book has ever been so loved and defended and expounded and illustrated. There must be something peculiar about a book which excites the undying hatred of its enemies from age to age, but attracts so much love and admiration of tens of millions. You know, it was like that with our Lord Jesus. He was hated and he was loved. I tell you what, it's just like that with the written Word of God. We should expect it. We should expect it. What happened was, in the 1800s, necromancy that God warned about in Deuteronomy took the world by storm. And everybody began to play with seances and follow these occult spirits. And they began to hear from the spirits. And when Aunt Betsy would come and begin to rap at the table, and all of a sudden speak through a medium, whose eyes would go back in her head, and the message that they brought forth was very consistent. It's the same message that people get from these UFO abductions, you know. Basically, these are devils. These are devils. And God warns us against necromancy. Nevertheless, I want you to hear what the spirits, so-called, these evil spirits, when people would mess with the Ouija boards and the seances, here's what the spirits would say. In 1855, they called for a new version of the Bible. Isn't that something? And you know, West Cotton Board for necromancers. That's been proven by many others, but I go through it in a little more detail. And I prove that the New Age organizations of today look back upon West Cotton Board and they say, those are our forefathers. That was our beginning. Westcott and Thorpe was the beginning of the New Age movement. Isn't that something? That's scary, isn't it? In the middle of the 19th century, they were calling for a Bible written by spiritists. They got it. It's the RV. You see, but if it's written by devils, wouldn't it have a little more evil in it? Well, I believe the evil's there. We just don't always recognize it. One way we can recognize the evils of the NIV and the ASV and the new ASV and the RV and such like is simply hear the doctrines that these devils are putting forth and then look at the Word of God and show that they're condemned in our Bible. But you look in the new version and you say, now wait a second. These very same doctrines are found in these versions. For example, Sacred Circle magazine in 1855, they have a dialogue between a skeptic and a necromancer. The skeptic says, you're very severe upon our sacred word. The spiritualist says, I respect it as much as you do. And believe that a thorough investigation cannot harm it. It's only when, this is the spiritist talking, this is the necromancer, it's only when you claim too much for it, when you have every translated word of the King James Version to be infallible. Okay, so what's the spirit world saying? They're saying, we love the Bible just like you do. Just don't tell us that the King James Bible is perfect. There they are. So the skeptic answers the spirits and says, what would you have us to do? We don't have anything but the King James Version of the Bible. And that is our authority. The spiritualist says, no, you need to follow those who have studied the languages. You need to follow our modern scholars that we're raising up. They throw light on the dark mysteries of the ancient record, and they must be listened to. Westcott and Thorpe, Lightfoot, many of these others, they put out a new version of the Bible. Blavatsky, the great witch, who basically was the leader of the Theosophy movement with a magazine called Lucifer, she said the King James Version, as it stands translated, has no resemblance to the original. You must follow the original. Over and over again in all of her writings, she said the Revised Version is what we want to follow. The Revised Version of the Gospels has fixed the mistranslation of the old version. Her followers, Annie Besant, who also was the editor of the Lucifer magazine, says the English translation, the Authorized Version, is wretchedly imperfect. Errors abound in it. They are laughable. And great calls have been made for the new translation. Manly P. Hall, who we mentioned earlier, says the King James Version is especially rich in error. And he goes on to say, the Codex Sinaiticus is a manuscript of the 4th century. It is one of the greatest books in the world. It was discovered long after the publication of the now universally accepted King James Version of the Bible. And he goes on to say, we need to follow the books, the versions, the new Bibles that come from the Codex Sinaiticus manuscript. This is a Luciferian. This is the 33rd degree Mason. Another Mason in 1910, Carl W. Mason is his name. He says, to me, the wording and peculiar language of the old King James Version seemed essentially a part of the Bible itself. I have come to know now that the newer translations are the best and the most accurate. He says, it's now a time to advance and push forward the progress of Masonry. And he says, the way we're going to do it is with new Bible versions. New Bible versions. I go through again the necromancy of Westcott and Hort. I show how they played with seances and would talk to the dead. They were secretaries of these ghost clubs. A lot of people claim they were just investigating it. I show that that's not the case. But there's something else even worse, or almost as worse. They believe in the communion of saints. So not only were the necromancers getting in contact with the dead, but they believed in the communion of saints, which means that they would get in secret places and commune with saints that used to live. And they would have fellowship with these so-called saints. And this is a common theme by people that believe in the new version. Westcott and Ford would hear and commune with departed spirits. And the editor of the Phillips translation said that C.S. Lewis appeared to him on multiple occasions after his death. The Galveston Daily News in 1893 tells us what spiritualists believe. It tells us the doctrines that they have received from the spirit world. And they said, spiritualists as a rule do not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God in any higher sense than everybody else is. We do not believe in the doctrine of the atonement as is ordinarily taught in the churches. Spiritualists believe that all who practice the teachings of Jesus Christ and seek entrance into heaven by just simply trying to be Christ-like, trying to be a good person, will attain to the highest degrees of the spirit world. You'll see over and over and over and over again, every Unitarian, every Mason, every follower of Lucifer, every follower of the spirit world always comes out with one doctrine, salvation by works. It's that which unites Islam, it unites the Jews. The more Masonic influence is upon a preacher, the more he teaches salvation by works. And when they go have these big nationwide ministries, they always end up with salvation by works. Well, they disguise it, invite Jesus into your heart. But the gospel message of the Masons is always stand up and work your way to salvation. And Jesus will help you. That comes right out of the pit of hell. And it's designed to bring forth Revelation 17. It's designed to bring forth the Catholic Church at the head of a one world religion. There's no way you can bring Catholics and Protestants and Baptists together unless you get rid of the gospel. There's no other way. These same doctrines that I just read to you from the Spiritists, if you go through every one of Westcott and Ford's writings, you'll find that the popular doctrine of substitution they consider an immoral and material counterfeit. They despise the blood. They despise the true atonement. They despise the gospel. Over and over and over again, you'll find that these men who were behind the RV were basically writing, bringing forth a spiritism Bible, a Bible of necromancy, with necromancy doctrines, satanic Lucifer doctrines. I'll close by just simply giving you a few words. The reason it's so important to understand the heretics behind the ASV, the reason it's so important is the New American Standard Version says we're basically, the whole foundation of everything in this version comes from the American Standard Version. So as you go back to the American Standard Version, you basically have the root of all modern versions today. The men that were on the American Standard Translating Committee were heretics. They were heretics. Now, some of them were given a free pass because they weren't outright infidels. You had the higher critics that were infidels, and then you had the fundamental Bible believers, and in between, you had these men that said, we believe in infallible Christ, we do not believe in infallible Bible. We believe in infallible Jesus, we do not believe in inspired Bible. Jesus has no imperfections, he's in heaven, but down here on earth, we have a Bible that basically has imperfections. Every one of the men that were on the American Standard Translating Committee believed that the Bible had errors in it. Spurgeon called wind of this before his death. He called it the downgrade controversy. And Spurgeon did everything he could to rebuke it. I believe if he would have lived a few more years, he would have realized what was behind the new translations even more. Oh, he called wind of it. You wouldn't believe the quotes I have where he knew something was not right. But as he began to rebuke the broad school, All of the views that he reviewed are basically advocated by men on the ASV translating committee. Spurgeon said in 1887 in The Sword and Trowel, read those newspapers which represent the Broad School. Ask yourself, how much further can they go? A new religion has been initiated. The inspiration of Scripture is derided. That's right, by all the men that were on the ASV translating committee. Yet these enemies of our faith expect us to call us brethren. At the back of doctrinal falsehood comes a natural decline of spiritual life, evidenced by a taste for questionable amusement. See, at the chief, at the head of the downgrade controversy, the main thing Spurgeon was rebuking was they do not believe in the inspiration of the Bible, and they go to theaters. That's what Spurgeon says. They go to theaters. Spurgeon challenged everybody because it created a lot of controversy. Everybody was angry at him. And he says, okay, well, I challenge you. In 1887, Sword of the Trowel, he says, no one, not one single person, has disproved my allegation. Nobody yet has denied that there are certain ministers that attend theater. He said, deny it. I dare you to try to deny it. That we have actual preachers that would go to theater. He said, it's over. We've lost it.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you. The new theology is introducing not only a new code of morals, but a new tone and spirit. He says the Jesuits are at the bottom of all of this. Oh, Philip Schaff, the chairman of the ASV, said unity is the foundation of our brotherhood. Look, you know what? That was a lady, the editor of Lucifer magazine, but he didn't rebuke it. He didn't rebuke it. He has worked for this unity all his life, according to his biographers. He does say union must include the Greek and Roman churches. If any one church is to be the center of unification, the honor must be given to the Pope. He looked at all the Unitarians and Universalists and Theosophists and says there is room for all of these and many other churches and society in the kingdom of God. There's your ASV. John D. Witt was known as a great heretic. He wrote a book in 1893 called What is Inspiration? It was blasted by the Orthodox Christians, the fundamental Christians of the day. He basically says there's errors in the Bible. Evolution's true, progressive revelation's true, and higher criticism's true. He was a man that was on the American Standard Translating Committee. Every single man you look at, Edward A. Washburn, he was the best representative of the broad church view. He writes, I speak as one of those who earnestly hope for mediation between the church and higher criticism coming out of Germany. Taylor Lewis was a member of the Old Testament Translating Committee of the ASV. It said in his biography that Lewis in 1855, several years before Darwin, proclaimed evolution as a theory in harmony with teaching of science, had already suggested and taught the same theory and was denounced by the Christians at the time. Christianity in the United States in 1888, says before Darwin was ever heard of, our own biblical scholar, Professor Taylor Lewis, taught it. He was a Darwinist before Darwin. On the same translating committee of the ASV is Joseph Henry Thayer, who was a Unitarian, who did not believe the divinity of Jesus Christ. He did not believe in the infallibility of Christ. Over and over and over, you finally have Timothy Dwight, served as the New Testament committee, served on the New Testament committee of the ASV. He was a member of the occult secret society called Skull and Bones. This masonry, this secret society, no wonder Manly P. Hall said, follow the new versions. The New American Standard Version, published by the Lottman Foundation, by Judy Lottman. If you go to Lottman.org, which is the website for the Lottman Foundation, who published the New American Standard Bible, they'll tell you outright, openly, I'll read it, He was an active member of the Masonic Order for 31 years before his death. Who's behind the UASB? Masons. Who's behind the ASB? Skull and Bone. Who's behind the RV that they all came from? Necromancers. I'll conclude with Isaiah, who says, "Woe unto them who seek to hide, who seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us?" Jeremiah says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor." I'm telling you, they're false prophets. And they have stolen the words of God. They've stolen the blood. They've stolen the free gospel. They've stolen the fear of God. They've stolen everything that's good and godly and foundational. And it's time to rebuke them. It's time to expose them. The Bible says, "Reprove and rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." All the Bible says that we have to expose, that we have to reprove these unfruitful works of darkness. We're at war, brothers and sisters. We're at war. And it's time to stand up and fight. Save your families. Just like Noah. Save his family. Save your families. Amen.
Amen.